Thank you, Fred. That's Fred Lair, our streamer and our access code generator. Thank you very much, Fred. Okay, my name is James Sagerton. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board's National Finance Committee for April 11th, 2023. We believe we have quorum, and I'm asking our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please take the roll.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa Allen? Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Kamau Harris?
Here.
Julie Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden?
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson?
Your friend and mine.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Okay, that's eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, that takes us to number three on the agenda, which is adopt the agenda. We're going to read the agenda, and then we'll see if we can adopt it. The agenda is number one, convene meeting. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, the minutes for 5 minutes. Number five, nominations for committee officers postponed until tonight, 5 minutes. Number six, report from the executive director, 30 minutes. Number seven, review of latest financials, 15 minutes. Number eight, review of central services formula, 30 minutes. Number nine, select budget timelines, 30 minutes. Number 10, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Are there any suggestions for additions, subtractions, alterations of the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, that's adopted, which takes us to number four, minutes. R. Paul.
Okay, they were sent out this sometime today. I forget when. I think this afternoon, Eastern time. I move to approve the minutes of the February 14th, 2023 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider them adopted with the same proviso that we always give, which is that they can be amended at any time in the future as needed. Okay, that brings us to number five, which is nominations for committee officers, which was postponed until tonight at our last meeting. We have 5 minutes for this item, and I just want to say that we did postpone because we were lacking a treasurer from KPFK. We still don't have a treasurer from KPFK. I note that the other committees are not waiting for full representation from KPFK in order to go on and elect their chairs and proceed with their business. I do point out, however, that this committee has a special mandated by the PMB membership, which requires, you know, the treasurers from the five stations, although there's nothing in there that says, you know, if there's not a treasurer, we shouldn't proceed. So I just want to throw this open to the committee and especially ask Beth Von Gunten, the representative from KPFK, who requested the postponement until tonight, for her thoughts.
This is Beth.
And ahead,
first, I want to thank the committee for their consideration in allowing this two-week postponement. We did attempt an election, and it failed to make quorum, and so we still don't have a result from that process. And I would hesitate to ask for the committee's further indulgence unless they were so inclined. I would take another postponement if offered. We still have to do whatever it takes to get officers and directors in place, and that's a process. But I understand if the committee feels the need to move ahead. So again, thank you to my colleagues on the committee, and I'll leave it up to their discretion how to proceed.
Is there any other discussion? Go ahead.
Question? Since there's going to be a new election, how long will it probably take before there's a possible new treasurer?
We do have a regularly scheduled LSB meeting on the calendar for this Sunday, and that would be the place for any next steps to take place. So this is an unprecedented set of circumstances, so we won't know till we get to the far side of it, but that's our I am presuming now that we will one way or another get next steps in place then. I don't know whether that'll give us a result in time for the next meeting, but it might. That's a possibility. We can certainly aim for that. And that's as much as I know. It's, everything else is, you know, up in the air. So thank you. Good question. Thank you.
Beth, you mentioned in our conversation about this that they might do the PNB elections first and then the officers' elections. Do you have any further information on that?
Not actual information. I know that that's a consideration now because we need a full complement of directors from KPFK, especially in these times, and because it might be, given just the local dynamics, it might be more possible to get that done first, and that would give us a success to build on in trying to get officers in place then next. But that's speculation on my part and from what I've heard from other people. It's not like a decision has been made on that.
I see. Any other discussion or questions? Not hearing any. Any thoughts on what to do? I think it may be that we do get something by our next meeting, but it may be that we don't. It also may be that we don't for some time, although we all hope that that's not the case. Just let me finish one thought here, Beth.
Okay.
I'm not keen kind of to continue to chair without having the mandate renewed by having our regularly, you know, scheduled elections. But, you know, as you can see, I'm ready to discuss this and hear opinions on what to do. Go ahead, Beth.
I have a question, I guess, for the committee. Would the committee entertain the possibility of delaying one further meeting to see what might be possible and continuing with the current chair until that time? I'm just asking for people's perspectives on this. Thank you. Maybe I should pose it as a question. Would there be anyone opposed to doing that?
Well, maybe pose it as a motion to postpone.
Yeah. Just
okay.
Second. Thank you,
all right.
Paul.
Then I move that we postpone the election another one further meeting to see whether we can get a good result out of KPFK.
Is there any discussion?
Okay. So I have to postpone the elections till the next meeting. Is that enough?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. Is there any objection? Hearing none. We'll consider that passed, and we'll bring this up again next time, see where we are.
Thank you,
Beth. So that takes us to item number 6, which is report from the executive director. Thanks for waiting for us to get through all of that, Stephanie.
No problem. I just forwarded to you, James, the complete consolidated financials for all the divisions. Earlier in the afternoon, but I only had WSW and KPFT, but we have Markeisha sent all of them just a few moments ago.
Okay, I had forwarded the first two onto the committee, but they don't have the rest.
No.
Stephanie, can you quickly send that to R. Paul, and then he can post it to the committee list, and then we can just, you know, you can give us a rundown on it if you wish, but then we can return to it at our next meeting, you know, after everybody's had a chance to look at it.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at it as well. I mean, just in the mere moments of opening it up. But I will forward it to R. Paul as well.
Well, maybe then you could put in your report, you know, why don't we wait till we get to number 7 to talk about these, and you can explain the situation and, you know, what the delay is and how it's coming along and how it's working out, which I'm sure everybody is interested in. So why don't you go along with your regular report, and we'll take that as the next item.
Okay.
As we have it on the agenda. Thanks.
Yeah. No, I was going to just let everybody know, if they haven't heard already, is that the potential buyer that we had for the Los Angeles building backed out, and so it's back on the market again. So we are no longer in escrow with them. They withdrew their offer within the time limit that they had, so they were able to get everything but $100 back from their initial deposit. The brokers have been showing the building on a regular basis. So we're averaging usually anywhere between 3 or 4 showings per week. I've also been in conversation with some individuals in New York and also in Los Angeles that are looking to put together a small group of maybe 5 or 6 investors that invest in real estate and that might be willing to purchase the building. So nothing is finalized with that, but I have been in conversation with them for a month or so now. It's just a matter of, you know, trying to find using their contacts as well to try to pitch the possibility of having these investors purchase the building for us, and then we would just basically rent it back from them. They're also talking about the possibility, of buying, you know, sort of purchasing or buying out the loans that we have. So those are still just in discussion phase. And again, I've been having those conversations for a couple of months now. So it's just trying to get some of those people together. But again, the building is back on the market, and we've been having a lot of people come through and take a look at it. We have been meeting quite often with an individual that's part of our affiliate network in New Mexico, who has been receiving, their station has been receiving CPB funding for about 27 or 28 years. And so Ursula from the director of our affiliate put us in contact with him, and he's been extremely helpful for just giving us insight and information on how to apply and use the best use of our time to apply for the CPB funding this year. One of our national board members has been very instrumental, Jim Dingaman, in working with us as well and arranging a lot of these meetings. And today, the general manager from the station in New Mexico met with myself and all of the general managers of our stations just to kind of give a rundown of what it is that I'll be looking for from them as far as the revenue and expense forms that we're going to have to fill out, and then also just the information that we need as far as the ratings. So we're going to have to get our rating statistics for 2 spring periods for fiscal year 21 and fiscal year 22, and then the most recent quarter that is just completed. So we'll be working on getting that information as well. So in the next week or so, I will be meeting, Markeisha and I will be meeting with the general managers individually, and also membership directors and business managers if the station has one, just to kind of go through some of the details. The grant we thought was due May 24th, and then CPB announced just yesterday that the application for new applicants is actually due May 8th, and they released the correct application for that just yesterday as well. So it was somewhat convenient that we were able to, you know, have our regularly scheduled general manager and directors meeting this morning. So we'll be working on that and getting that completed and apply by May 8th. Does anybody have any questions?
This is Sharon. I have a question.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for your report. So that's great about the CPB, but I sent that document that had the listing of the CPB requirements. And my understanding is that all of those requirements in that letter from CPB are going to have to be fulfilled in addition to and prior to applying again. So have you looked into that at all, or have you been in contact with CPB about, you know, the outstanding issues that Pacifica has?
Yes, I have. I have. I've kind of been put on a few phone chains, you know, kind of made. I've talked to a couple of people at CPB already, and then they'll forward me to somebody else and then forward me to somebody else, just so we can kind of get to where we need, you know, the person that I need to talk to in order to do what we need to do to fix the issues that we had when we fell out of compliance. So those will be the fixing of the issues when we fell out of compliance, in addition to the application, are going to be done in tandem. So it's kind of two separate departments in a way that are working on those, but we are working on both the new application and the fixing of what we've done in the past, what we didn't do in the past.
Okay, that's great. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Could I ask what would be sort of a follow-up to Sharon's question, which is, when I was, Sharon, let me ask you first. Are you referring to that 2013 letter from CPB?
Yes, 2012, 2013, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I was looking at that, I thought we had already dealt with some of those questions substantially. Is that your understanding at all, Stephanie, or are these, I mean, I forget what the details were, but I seem to recall that we had addressed some of the issues, at least some of the issues. What's your understanding of where we are with that?
Some, but not all. The majority of grants that you get in general, there are grant reports that need to be done, and particularly when it is a government grant, there are specific forms that need to be used when you fill out those reports. And it was the follow-up reports that were not done. So we did our audits, which was great, and we, you know, had our things posted as far as on, you know, any of the financials posted on the website, but our audited financial statements don't take the place of their required financial reporting forms. Mm-hmm. So it's going back and filling those out and correcting some of the issues on some of the original financials that were put in and submitted.
And will we be able to reconstruct that using the audits, or, you know, will we need additional information from our own records?
It will be a little bit of both. You know, with the application in general, the numbers that you submit, like even with the application that we're looking at for this upcoming year, there's we use their Excel spreadsheets for the expenses and the revenue. And those numbers need to match our audited financial statements. So we kind of have to use a little bit of both. And then because our audit, we're going to be working off of our fiscal year 21 audit, we will need to also submit with this grant a, you know, our technically our budget for fiscal year 23 as well.
I have some more questions, but I want to see if anybody else does. Is there any other question?
I have a question, another question too, but
go ahead, Sharon. Oh yeah, let's see. Good. I didn't hear anybody else.
Did you just say, Stephanie, did you just say that the CPB is going to require audited, financial statements for fiscal year 2023 by May 8th? Is that what you were just saying there?
Yes, because I don't want to put us down in any way because we're working really hard to get the budgets done, but most organizations have their budgets done and completed prior to the start of the fiscal year. So it is the CPB would assume that we have approved financials and budgets for the current fiscal year that we are in.
Okay, thanks.
Beth with a question.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. To follow up on what Sharon was asking, does that then mean that this committee needs to complete budgets for this year in time, well, at our next meeting, actually, because that will be, if I'm not mistaken, that's likely to be our last meeting before the deadline for this application on May 8th. Does that all hang together, or did I miss anything? Is that true?
That would be ideal, but it is something that as long as I have kind of a rough idea of we can kind of tell where we're heading in looking at our financials, what those budgets would be for this current fiscal year and any sort of changes or revisions. I doubt if there's anything, if once we approve the budgets, if it's even after the application process, those revisions can be made, but it's fairly safe at this point to kind of guesstimate or project what the budgets are for this current fiscal year. If all the budgets can be approved prior to the application, that would be great. I'm just looking at it realistically. Could that be done? It'd be great if it could. I just don't know if it can.
Stephanie,
I'm just going to submit what I can and what we have and give an explanation as to why we are where we are.
Okay. That sounds good. I'm sorry, Beth. The budgets that we have so far, we don't have most of them so far from the units. We're working on WBAI, but that's requiring union negotiations. We've got some that we passed pending the adoption of a central services formula, which I hope we can do tonight. But we're not, we have to get the rest of these budgets, approve them, and then the PNB has to approve them after we send them to the PNB, which usually is not an issue. But are you saying that you have enough? I know you've been working on the budgets for this year and the budgets for next year with the stations that are still outstanding. Are you saying you have enough that you hope that you can submit that by May 8th or as you say, on May 8th, submit what we have with an explanation and then fix that by, whatever following date you can?
I'm going to have to submit what we have and just sort of propose what our current fiscal year budget is, just project it out. One of the things to take into consideration is that we are applying as we're one nonprofit foundation, the Pacifica Foundation. So when the financials are put in, the budget that's required for the grant, it is a consolidation of all of the divisions together. There's not five separate applications for each of the stations. There will be attachments based upon the grids for everybody. Each of the stations' grids has to be put in the application. All of the employees at each of the divisions need to be put in the application. The ratings, our coverage area, all of that will be separate attachments. But the financials themselves and the narrative and such are all based upon the Pacifica Foundation. So by looking at our financials that we have already and then projecting out where we think we will be by the end of this fiscal year, I can submit a projected current fiscal year budget.
And the final due date for the audits is not until sometime in June, I think June 30th, right? So they're not expecting
Correct.
Us to have the audits done, right?
No, no. The application, you know, some of the groups, you know, that when we were talking with the person, for example, that's been helping us from New Mexico, they already have their audit done. You know, they work in partnership with the University of New Mexico. They have trustees, the board is, you know, that kind of thing. So they have their audit already. But according to the application, a lot of organizations, particularly larger organizations, don't have their audits done on average until June, July, August, September, sometimes even as late as October. So the CPB application is asking for the financials that we submit are based upon the most recent audited financial statements. So it's not our most recent audited financial statements are for fiscal year 21.
Well, it sounds like you have your work cut out for you. Please let us know if there's anything we can do, you know, to help you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Stephanie on this or anything else? I still have a couple myself, but I'll wait to see if anybody else has any.
This is Beth for the question.
Go ahead, Beth.
Stephanie, 2 months ago at this meeting, I asked about the possibility of a report on your first year's efforts to increase Pacifica's revenue, given that historically that's the side of the ledger that tends to get neglected here. Other things happened in the interim, so we're still looking forward to that report. I'm hoping we could ask you to do that at the next meeting, and in fact, then the next development task force is the day before that, and given that that's the mandate of that task force, we would be very grateful to hear it there, too. Will that be possible?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me know if there's anything I can do to help you with that. Thanks, Jim.
Any other questions? Let me pop mine in then now. Stephanie, there was some thinking that the non-federal funding sources, the NFFS, was a possible way to get around having the Nielsen ratings that would fit into the formula of the CPB for audience, in a, you know, which is in relation to the market size of where our signals are. But now I've recently heard that, oops, maybe that's not a thing, and we're going to need to have the audience numbers as well as the non-federal funding sources. What's your understanding of that, where that lays right now?
Those are two separate entries that we need. The non-federal funding, which involves any sort of grants, foundation, in-kind and indirect payments, those are all separate things we need to put in. And then we also need the ratings. And the ratings need to be for the spring quarters of 2021 and 2022 and the most recent completed quarter, which would be winter, I believe.
So two related questions there. One is on the non-federal funding sources, volunteer hours and, you know, people who work for no pay, I believe can be included in the non-federal funding sources, but we've never been able to have an accounting of that and to get it together to do that. I imagine with the deadline crashing upon us so quickly, there's no chance we're ever going to get that involved this time around. Would that be right?
The volunteer hours of staffing is not considered, that would be considered part of an in-kind gift, and only if it's related to the basic operations of the station, and it can't be related to anything that is fundraising.
Right. So, for example, the 1,000 volunteer programmers that we have, would that be included?
Well, there's the tricky part, not really, because we don't list them as in-kind donations or in-kind hours as revenue. we don't in our it needs to match what is listed in our audited financial statements. So they're just
we list them as unpaid staff. Yeah.
Correct. It's volunteer hours. Any consultant is, you know, vendor.
And the other question I had was, how are we doing on our audience numbers? You know, again, to fit into their formula for the size of the metropolitan areas that we're in.
Well, what they're really kind of basically looking for, and I've heard this from sources within CPB and then also the gentleman that's assisting us just in, you know, kind of helping us walk through some of this process and answering questions, is that the CPB is trying to make sure that we at least have an audience. They don't want any I know, but they don't want any group asking for funds that have, you know, only the people in their neighborhood listening or something. They want to make sure that it is a legitimate radio station that has an audience. So it isn't something that will potentially, you know, the numbers of our listeners aren't as, you know, they may not be huge, but they're big. We have an, you know, we have an audience. We're reaching people. Do, you know, the dollars that we raise match in our signal area? Possibly not, but we do have listeners and we are raising money. So I think that's kind of the little gray area of when it goes to funding, because then what happens is that the CPB, you know, they take all of the information that is submitted from all of the stations, put it together in one big file, and they say, you know, on average, this is what the stations are raising. On average, this is what the, you know, community stations have this much in in-kind donations. They have this much in indirect, you know, revenue, those kind of things. So it's individual applications, but a lot of that information is really so CPB can put it all together in one big package when they're requesting more funding from, you know, from the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind
of is that,
again, we have
is that number
money.
I'm sorry, I stepped on you. Say that again.
So it is just kind of a gray area from what they're asking for, because technically we do have, you know, an audience, and we are broadcasting to that audience, and we are raising money.
Two more quick questions. One is the $500,000 number, does that apply to all five of the stations for the non-federal funding sources? And the other question was the full-time equivalents, the FTEs. Are we going to need to make some do some hiring, especially at KPFT, in order to qualify?
Again, we are applying as the Pacifica Foundation because we have one 503 number.
Got it. So we will have enough FTEs, you know, because we're going to be counting all of the employees, not just at the individual stations.
Correct.
Got it. And what about the 500,000 number? Is that the number that each station needs to have in terms of NFFS?
Those, again, are questions that we need to kind of ask, because in total, we may be able to just do the total amount that is raised and then average it out per station. So those are things that, you know, during the application process, even though the CPB isn't, they don't provide really detailed answers, I will be able to submit things to them and say, am I heading in the right direction? You know, mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. So.
Well, that sounds good.
That's a bit closer.
We have some prospects there, it sounds like. Any other questions from anyone else? I've been hogging the microphone here.
R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. Regarding the in-kind stuff, the in-kind donation, we used to do that years ago, and I'm thinking where we were at 505 then, which means sometime in the 90s we were doing in-kind donation. The at BAI, the staff, the unpaid staff would, you know, be told tell us how much stuff you're doing for the station and all. And we would submit all of these numbers and things that we'd given to the general manager, and that was sent in. And then at some point after that, maybe the late 90s, maybe the early 21st century, we were told, nope, not doing that anymore. And so we were told it was just not done. We couldn't do that anymore. It was not the valid thing that they would want. So there is some history about this in Pacifica. And if we could, you know, get at least some staff to say how much stuff we've donated in kind, that would amount to a bunch. But again, we were told years ago that can't do it. So if now we're being told we can, that would be good, but people should really look into that because maybe we can't. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
That's for the question.
Let me see if Stephanie had any response to our poll, Beth.
Okay. We had talked about that a little bit today when we had our meeting with the GMs and such. What would have to happen with something like that is that invoices would have to be created for the time that each person would be, you know, like there would have to be an actual dollar amount set to it. And then there would have to be something else then that's added to that saying that the person has now given back such and such amount of money as an in-kind gift to the station. It wouldn't be actual, you know, physical money, but even if there's people that I know recently at KPFK, we had somebody come in that was needing to do some cleaning. And so they invoiced for $250 and then they turned around and redonated that $250. So there we have a paper trail that was showing it was an in-kind donation.
Any other questions?
Beth has a question.
I'm sorry, Beth. Go ahead.
Thank you. On the same item, there's an annual report from one of the national nonprofit advisory nonprofits that addresses the value of a volunteer hour in each state. It's updated annually. They use figures from the IRS, and the value in most of our listener areas is higher by far than the national average. I've been bringing this up since I first got to the LSB years ago now, that if we were to document that and submit it where it counts, that it would completely change our financial profile. And I think it would do wonders to improve our charity navigator ratings and GuideStar and that sort of thing, and could be leveraged into further financial support. So I would like to encourage Stephanie, please, to do whatever it takes to develop that documentation so that we have it in place for the next time we apply for the CPB. Excuse me. I recognize that it's pretty late in the game to try to get anything in place like that for this time around, especially given that the deadline has just been shortened. But I strongly, strongly encourage Pacifica as a whole to pursue that project and get it in place. Thank you, R. Paul, for the history. That's the first I've heard that. I've actually been trying to track some of this down since I got here. So if there's anything, any more light you can shed on that, I would gratefully receive whatever you can tell us. If there's anything I can do to support you in that, Stephanie, please let me know. I will track down the most recent one of those value of a volunteer hour documents and provide it to the rest of the committee. Thank you.
Anyone else?
R. Paul, fast.
Excuse me, R. Paul. I should have asked Stephanie if she had a response to Bell.
Well, one of the things, too, that Allegiance does is that it has the ability that people can track their volunteer hours, and volunteers would log in their hours that they're working just as you would a time card, and then have proof of people working and clocking in and clocking out. So, you know, that is, again, another feature that's not or hasn't been used with Allegiance.
I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
And this, and
I just wanted to say I have gotten the email from the executive director, and I forwarded it to the list, and it's on the NFC mailing list now.
Thank you so much.
And what is that, our poll? Is that the financials, or was that?
Yeah, the financials. Let me see what it says it is. Financials for period ending 2/28/23.
Got it. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Stephanie now as part of her report? Because if not, we'll go ahead to item number 7 on the agenda and talk about these financials for a few moments.
Yes, I have a question. This is Sharon.
Oh, go ahead, Sharon. Go ahead.
Yeah. Comment, maybe. Interesting about Allegiance having the ability to track volunteer hours. And I would suggest that that volunteer hour tracking would be a great way to track who qualifies as staff for elections, because that is something that we should keep a track of. So, yeah, if we want to start tracking volunteer hours that way, I think that would be a great addition to both our elections and to whatever it's being used for the CPBs. That's my comment.
Thank you, Sharon. Stephanie, any comment?
That actually is one of the most difficult things, is talking with the general manager for the last couple of months and getting their lists together for the upcoming elections, is that I thought that the most difficult would be compiling and getting clean lists of our, you know, listener members. But the majority of the GM said that actually the hard part is the volunteer staff, because they have maybe somebody that comes into the station that does the program, but then they don't know that there's, you know, 10 to 15 or, you know, what have you, volunteers that are helping on the back end that may never even come into the station assisting with the program. So, yeah, having a way to track all of that and just have an accurate list of who's doing what would be extremely helpful for multiple reasons, including getting clean election lists.
Stephanie, do we have any way to track the hours of the actual employees?
Yeah, the employees actually fill out time cards.
I see. At all the stations?
Yeah, I mean, when we do the, except the general managers, but we know if they're a salaried employee, then they don't fill out time cards. But I think the majority of the program directors are probably not salaried either, but we have everybody else's pay, which is why the payroll kind of changes because of the hours that are different.
Good. Okay. Excuse me a moment.
Our poll for a fast something on that.
Go ahead, Arpo. Go ahead.
Yeah, regarding all the people who might be helping, that's sort of something to be careful of, because the elections, you know, they're elections and it's political. And I can say that at one point I had a complaint about one election where at a certain radio station there was a 1.5 hour a month radio program that had 31 people saying they were eligible to vote as staff for that. And, you know, that's like impossible to have 31 people doing 10 hours a month for 3 months in a row on only 1/2 hour a month. So, you know, you got to be careful with this because people might want to, you know, pad things out a bit. So it needs to be – that sort of thing is difficult, but it needs to be paid attention to. That's all.
Paul. Thank you, R. Paul.
Point of inquiry.
Go ahead.
Are we now at the point where we're going to talk about Pacifica consolidated financials, the statements that we got?
Yeah, I was just going to go for that. Yeah. Is that James McFadden?
Yes.
All right, so you're here. That's good to know. Yes, we were just about to go to that, but I just wanted to see if there was any final questions on Stephanie's report. And hearing none, let's move on, Stephanie. Now, you know, I only put 15 minutes for this because we just got them, and you just got them right prior to the beginning of this meeting. You got the bulk of them. So do you want to just talk about the process and how that's going and, just talk about it in general terms?
Yeah, the KPFT and WPSW have both received their consolidated financials. KPFT had them for their meeting, their LSB meeting, and their finance committee meeting. I believe it was last week or the week before, and then WPFW had theirs for their finance meeting on Monday. So the other stations haven't had a chance to take a look at their financials yet, because I too haven't. I mean, I just opened them up pretty much after I forwarded it to you guys. So I'm still taking a look at them now. But what we're going to do and what we've done in the past is that once we get them, then I pull it apart and send each station their individual financials and then the national office financials and then the consolidated office or the consolidated financials for everything. So they have a chance to just take a look at those three and those two and then their own station. And then Markeisha and I meet with them on an individual basis just to go over any sort of changes or things that were input that don't make sense to them, because we can only input what we receive, and then we make those adjustments as needed. So that's where we are with it.
Any questions?
Mac on the stack.
Our poll for stack.
Okay, got Mac on poll. McFadden.
Not so much a question.
Let me just see if McFadden, were you requesting the stack when you first asked?
I was.
Okay. We'll let you go first. And we've got our Paul and hold on a second.
It was me, Mac.
Okay.
I was first, but it doesn't make any difference.
All right. No, that's fine. I was wondering that myself. So let's go McFadden, Mac, and then R. Paul. Go ahead, McFadden.
What I wanted to request first from Stephanie is that when we get these consolidated financials, they're all just numbers. But clearly somebody has a spreadsheet where they're using it like a spreadsheet with formulas. It'd be nice to get the ones with the formulas. It'd be easier to see that the numbers add up rather than having to sit with my calculator and doing them. But I just wanted to point out, in the 5 minutes that I've had to look at these, if you go to the KPFK page on the consolidated financials and you look at the last column, the year-to-date numbers, they're just a copy of the numbers that are in the prior year for a whole year. They're not like year-to-date numbers. And so it makes the KPFK total, of $149,000 in the red look much worse, because the number they're subtracting is the wrong number. And it's not even, they're just copying the same numbers, and they're not accounting for the fact that I think that revenues are changing and so on. So, but anyway, those numbers are just wrong in that last column. It's column X. I didn't see anything obvious in some of the other ones that I was skimming through, but It makes KPFK look a lot worse. I think probably they're in a positive situation only a small negative situation in the year-to-date financials. That's it. Unless you want to point out where the numbers are wrong. It looks like they just copied column R to column X on the KPFK page. They probably forgot to update the formula when they did the copy.
I see column R in KPFK, like line 8.
Yeah, column R is just right. You look at column X, the same numbers as column R on the Weaver sent. And it can't be because it's only for 5 months.
What?
And so it subtracts up a much bigger number. It's revenues minus expenses, and then there's this a whole year's worth of central services tucked in there.
Why don't you look at that and we'll come back.
Is that referencing the revenue column F line 18, or are you down to
this in the KPFK on column X, the last column?
The column X, year-to-date actuals, and those numbers are the same as column F.
It's identical to column R, which is they copied a formula wrong there in the central services proportion.
Oh, in central services. Okay,
so
central up with revenue, and I thought those aren't.
The revenue, the other numbers look okay. It's the central services.
Yeah, the central services section has always been an issue. That was always an issue, even with I'm not too sure even how those used to be an issue when Netta would do it as well. Even Julia Kennard could never really quite understand the formulas on how that was pulled. Because when you look at the total consolidated as well, it just doesn't make sense. Those need to be pulled out as something else because it's just where they're placed right here. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, the column, for those central services, the column X ought to be the sum of S and W. And that's just the way you would do the spreadsheet there. And it's...
because this is kind of spread out as they're assuming that they should be paying... to the national office, $36,829, or they should be paying to the archives, $4,910. So that's just kind of like guesstimated across each month what it would be on average of what their revenue was from last year. That whole section of the spreadsheet doesn't
I guess what I'm seeing is just seeing that these numbers are as high as they are for KPFA, and for KPFA, we have way more revenue than KPFK. So, I mean, we're supposed to be on like a 15%, right? So these numbers have to be smaller.
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know if these numbers, when they were plugged in, were based upon, were they considered 15% last year when budgets were made?
I doubt it.
Somehow we're not taking into
it. Yeah, so for KPFK, for KPFA, it's showing that it should be, 34,666. Yeah, and then the KPFK of what's not being paid is greater, 36,000.
They were supposed to be 15% last year, but when we changed the formula 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, whenever it was, it was never implemented by the national office. So It's a mishmash. Stations have been paying based on, some stations are paying it based on, I think there's three different formulas that the five different stations plus the affiliates are using.
Yeah, when that money is in there, the expenses, it's not getting, I mean, technically that column should change based upon if it's going to be the 15%, then that expense line item should be a negative of what the central services aren't being paid based upon the 15% of the revenue for that specific, for the month prior. So if you, right. I mean, that's how I look at it, is if you have your central service payments, that would be an expense item for March, would be 15% of the revenue generated February.
And that's one reason we should get on with it.
Because then you could figure out February central services would be paid at the end of the month based upon the revenue generated during February. Then it could at least be in that same column, but it's not even listed as a negative because none of it's getting paid.
Did I hear Sharon's voice?
Oh, I just had a memory of perhaps why the numbers are the way they are. I agree with everything that's being said about it, but I actually think KPFK's central services numbers is just the historical number. So yes, it is slightly higher than I think KPFA's, but because KPFK used to have more revenue, and I actually think that's what it was reflecting, is the historical numbers, because as you said, James, even though we did pass a motion and we did spend a lot of time on it, and I think it made at least some sense, it addressed some of the things we're all talking about right here. It was never implemented. So the numbers were never changed, you know, even though we did actually pass that motion.
Yeah, I think that's correct. And that's what's, you know, even though they're not paying, that's killing the appearance of the books for KPFK, because, you know, the idea is they're supposed to be paying $34,000, $33,000 or $34,000 a month in central services, which is ludicrous based on their current income. That's like, you know, probably 7 years old by now.
Yeah, I mean, okay, instead of addressing the central services formula itself, maybe we should just work to get the one we have implemented, because it at least would allow, like, KPFK to reevaluate, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Just a suggestion.
No, absolutely. That's why we need to get on with trying to pass that tonight. Couldn't agree more.
Well,
is there anything else?
I would just say, I think my point is we did pass something, and maybe we could get the PMB to enforce it or stations to implement it. I mean, we have a sitting motion out there that, you know, would allow KPFK to reevaluate at 15% of, I believe, what did we say? I mean, we had something like the rolling average. I can't even remember. I know we talked about this. But we did have a way to reevaluate the, you know, revenue and base the 15% on that. And perhaps that's just the best way to do it, rather than go through the whole central services argument again, is to just get the PMB to enact it and get the stations to reevaluate, and so they can include it in their budgets. Because just, if I can just address the one thing, Stephanie, about, you know, doing it monthly, that when we talked about this before, is it's hard on the budgeting side. Like, for when we are preparing our budget for KPFA, it's nice to have sort of a set, oh, this is what our central services payment is going to be. So that was kind of why, at least when we talked about this last time, we had a longer time frame for evaluating the 15%.
Correct. And I think that those, when you were saying that, you know, the flat number across the board was the 15% based upon the revenue from the year prior, hence why then it would then be divided up to equal installments over 12 months.
Yeah, I think that's what it was, something like that.
Yeah. So then that way it just kind of stays stagnant. So then, you know, is that one thing to take in consideration? Do we budget that, you know, are the budgets, and the budget should be fluid, you know, because things change and you can make adjustments if you see that Something's not going to work the way you had anticipated it to be, but do you then possibly reevaluate what central service that 15% each quarter? So you budget on the average of each quarter from the year prior, but then as you move into that, so you can get the budget numbers, but then as you move into the current year, do you base your central service payments based upon what you made the year before, or do you review it every quarter and determine then what do you pay moving forward?
We had initially discussed, when we discussed that the last time we did this, we were debating whether or not it was appropriate to look at it once a year or more often than once a year. Excuse me, I got a call coming in from a member of the committee who's not here. Anyway, we were, and we went back and forth on it, and we settled on looking at it once a year. But when Chris Corey, the former chair of the board of the NFC, was here last meeting, he suggested, he had originally been an advocate of doing it once a year because it made it simpler and it was a lot of work and complicated to reevaluate it more than once a year. He had changed his opinion and thought we should do it at least once every 6 months. I'm not opposed to doing it once every quarter, you know, as appropriate. I think that's, you know, that's, it's better to be more accurate.